Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews. I should say the letter from Paul to the Hebrews. You can follow along if you'd like. It's on page 211 in the Bibles in front of you. Paul writes, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, as we're going through the book of Luke this year. You can follow along on page 70 of the New Testament if you would like to. Jesus speaking says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and this opportunity to share in your word. Please let the words of our hearts and of my mouth be your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old wives' tale that says that it's about mosquitoes. It says that male mosquitoes are the noisy ones. Female mosquitoes aren't that noisy. But it's the female mosquitoes that bite us. See, they need our blood to feed their eggs. So since the male mosquitoes are the noisy ones, you don't have to worry as much about them. So if you're laying in bed late at night and it's dark and you hear that noisy mosquito buzzing around, don't worry about it too much. But if you're laying in bed at night and it's dark and you don't hear anything, it's actually an old wives' tale. It's not true. So if you're laying in bed at night and it's dark, you don't have to worry about it. Female mosquitoes actually, I looked this up, don't make any different noise than male mosquitoes. I have to admit to you that this week's been a little bit of a struggle for me. It's been a tough week at work. I've had a little struggle with my kids. I've had a little struggle with hope and faith this week, but most of all, I think I've struggled with these passages of Scripture in this sermon. As Pastor Will has mentioned many times, the United Methodist Church uses a lectionary, and you can use it or not use it. It's a series of suggested scriptures that a pastors can all preach from if they so choose. I could take it or leave it. Pastor Will really likes it. But I like to use it from time to time because it challenges me. It challenges me to seek meanings that I may not have seen in scriptures that I've read before. This week I've felt very challenged and sometimes a little overwhelmed. It can be easy to be overwhelmed with negative things that God allows into our daily lives. We can all at times become down or frustrated, sometimes even bitter towards life, bitter towards God. We can forget that God has promised, as Christ said in Luke, He has promised us peace and joy and a welcoming place in God's kingdom. But my question this week has been, how? How do I find hope? How do I find peace when I'm surrounded by the struggles in life? It's times like this that I picture myself in the boat on the sea with the disciples, and the storm is raging all around, and there's our Lord sleeping in the back of the boat. In our worry and our frustration, our fear, we wake him up and we say, "Lord, Lord, what's going on?" And his words strike very hard. "O ye of little faith." And like that, the storm is over. It's those times we need to be reminded who's in control. But I think it's human nature to focus on the negative, to live in fear and worry instead of living in hope and gratefulness. Just look at the way the news is presented to us on a regular basis. The news is put out there. They have an old line that says, "If it bleeds, it leads." They take the most horrifying, the most tragic things that happen in the world, and they put those in the front of the news. They lead everything off with it. And after a while, they have a little weather, maybe a little sports, and time permitting, they'll have a nice little warm-hearted story at the end of a little boy who found his lost dog or something. But I think it goes deeper than that, this negative thinking that we have. On a sunny September morning in 2001, 3,000 people were killed in horrifying fashion, and it was all broadcast live on television. And since that day, America has never quite been the same. Two wars have been started since then. Whole new departments of government have been created. Literally, thousands of laws have been made. Over $1 trillion has been spent by taxpayers, corporations, the media, just trying to deal with the things that we saw happen on that one day and how to prevent that from happening again. And yet, a statistic and a thing that a lot of people don't realize is that every single year in America, every single year since the year 2000, nearly twice that many people are killed every year by fellow Americans. Think about it. Since September 11, 2001, nearly 40,000 Americans have been murdered by fellow Americans. Thousands of people are killed every day in this country in car accidents. They're killed by cancer and heart disease and other horrible things. And yet, we don't let those statistics drive us to despair. We don't let those statistics drive us to radically change our lives like we do when we see something horrifying happen. We accept that bad things happen, and we go about our lives hoping that those bad things won't happen to us today. Sometimes when we see bad things happening, it's easier to accept. It's easier to deal with. But when things aren't seen, it's harder to deal with. The fact is, if we're not careful, we humans can actually make fear and worry into idols. And when we make anything earthly and human into an idol, we can actually keep God from working in our lives. I think what Jesus was saying in his passage from Luke and throughout the Gospels is that our hope and faith should be in God's promise of things far greater than the bad things that we see in everyday life. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus encourages us to always be ready, always be hopeful in anticipation of God's graces, to not grow tired or frustrated, for God's will is always good. In Hebrews, Paul exhorts us all to have faith, not in the things we see with our eyes, but in things unseen, the things that God has promised us, not only in this life, but after this life. Paul reminds us of Abraham and Sarah's faith, that even though they were old, God would bless them with a child, and a great nation would come forth from them. And we see that they were faithful, full of faith in God's promise. But wait a second. Anybody who's familiar with the story knows that Abraham and Sarah's faith wasn't always that strong, was it? No, in fact, there was a time when Sarah was so afraid that God may have made a mistake with his promise to them that she actually talked Abraham into getting one of her servant girls pregnant so that he may have a son. And Abraham agreed. That's how Ishmael was born. And out of the whole affair, where was their faith in God's promise? I don't know about you, but I actually gain a little hope from this story. So even though Abraham and Sarah acted out of fear in the things they did at that time, 14 years later, God still fulfilled his promise to them and gave Sarah a child named Isaac. I believe it was forgiveness and fulfillment of that promise that strengthened Abraham's faith in later years. And we can have that same faith. When things seem the darkest, when we feel overwhelmed by day-to-day life, if we take time to focus on the good things that God has done for us in the past, even before we were saved, we can see the promises fulfilled, and we can have faith in the promises to come. Faith in that which is unseen. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Amen.